Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, a demonic home haunting. What is the recipe for a demonic home haunting? Quite often the word demon is thrown around when discussing a haunting or ghostly encounter. How often, though, is a haunting related to the dark side of the paranormal? When Jacinda Rurick begins her recovery from a back injury, the ghostly forces that she had noticed around her home take a turn for the dark. They quickly make it evident that they do not come in peace. They mean harm. Strange noises quickly escalate to physical and mental attacks on her and her family, forcing her to seek help from the paranormal investigator and demonologist Kevin Trusevich. Kevin and his wife, who's a psychic, quickly identify the entities that make up this demonic home haunting and devise a plan to remove them. But do they succeed?
The Rericks, they lived in a house which they did have some activity going on, which was, you know, most houses are haunted. People just don't realize it. And it just takes something something environmental, some changes, and it'll kick them out of dormancy. And people don't realize that most houses are haunted. And they were having traditional haunting activity. But what happened to her was she had some back surgery done. And what happened was that this thing was waiting for, it was there dormant, the demonic entity. But it was waiting for something to feed on. And it was her injury and her psychological weakness due to the surgery. So it came in on her.
Prior to having surgery and being in a state of vulnerability, what was going on? Was there any signs for her that there was something going on with the house?
She was using just basically orbs and sounds, mm-hmm. the normal kind of, what we would say normal.
Sure.
Things in it, you know. But one big mistake she did when she thought there was something wrong, and this happens a lot now, is they brought in a group that weren't as knowledgeable. They were new. They thought they knew everything from watching TV, which is a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they cranked it up. And they left her that way.
So a group came in to see what they could do to help because she didn't know who to contact. And a lot of folks are eager to jump into a situation when they get the call. Especially if they mm-hmm. aren't new. So what went on there when that first group came in that it stirred it up and not for the better?
Well, what happens when you run into the demonic entities are very intelligent, very smart. And it showed itself or played as though it was a normal traditional haunting. And what they showed on their evidence was that it was just traditional haunting. Mm-hmm. And that's their ploy, because the longer they stay in the house, the longer they could deceive people, the stronger they get.
So when you have some light things going on, like she had with orbs in pictures, mm-hmm. or when she was just kind of feeling things here and there, in this specific case, do you believe that itself right there, that was the demonic trying to essentially mask itself as something ghost-light, if you will, and not what it was, to essentially be kind of blown off and, oh, it's no big deal, so it can kind of step by step build uh-huh. itself up?
Yeah, it's, what happened was I listened for key phrases when I talked to them. When she contacted me by phone, I am very in depth with questions, mm-hmm. and I have some that steer toward demonic and some toward traditional. Okay, you know how George Carlin had seven dirty words.
Sure.
That he would listen for. I have 32 questions that I ask. And then that helps me round off what it is. And as I was going through the list, these things were pointing to more demonic than they were traditional haunting. Like the activity only occurred at certain times of the day, the activity. Mm-hmm. It would happen in sequences. There were odors, which were not pleasant odors, because sometimes in a traditional haunting, you get smell of roses, flowers, cigars. This was more of a sulfur smell, and it only occurred in the, it was strongest from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So that's a sign of a demonic entity.
Why is it that there's only certain hours or certain areas that lean you more towards it being something demonic versus someone who had once walked the earth, if you will?
Well, the demonic have they hate natural light.
Mm-hmm.
So when it starts getting 6 p.m., it starts getting darker, then they can come out. They're stronger at that time. Human entities don't have that fear. People just don't notice them during the day because the house is always active.
Mm-hmm.
But demonic entities have a hatred of natural light. So their activity usually occurs from 6 p.m., and the high noon for them is 3 a.m., and then it'll go on till 6 a.m., but they'll be most active at 3 a.m.
When she was having these things go on, even before she contacted you, was she alone in her belief that something was going on, or did her family support her in this feeling that there was something going on with the house?
This was a classic case of the demonic, how they feed on one person. They were feeding on her and doing things to her. And what they do is try to break down the family dynamics by people, nothing happening to them, to the other people in the house. They start thinking she's crazy when she's seeing these things, and they start questioning her. So they're breaking down the family psychologically. Usually, traditional hauntings, everybody gets some kind of activity. But in a demonic, they pick on one person. It's usually the housewife, just because she's there most of the time by herself.
What were they doing specifically to break down the dynamics in the relationship in this case?
Well, what they would do is they would make noises for her. They rearranged her medications. She'd put them out, she'd turn around, and they'd be moved. She was a painter, and she would find her paintings vandalized. She would see her husband sleeping, and what happened, she would wake up, and she saw him once look like a corpse laying in bed with her. And she couldn't wake him up, which is a sign of which is called a psychic sleep. She was screaming, but no one else could hear her. And the other people go into a psychic sleep, that they such a deep sleep that they don't hear her screaming. It was a traditional textbook demonic entity by its activity.
So by the time that she had contacted the other group that ended up stirring things up, what sort of a time window was there between that investigation, in quotes, to bringing other folks in who had more education on what to be doing with a situation like this?
It was approximately 6 months.
Okay. So she sat there and it was stirred up. What was going through her mind in that 6 month period after having one group come in, and what drove her to finally contact someone else to try and get this resolved or get a grip on what was happening with her home and her family?
Well, the thing is, she was getting more personal attacks. And then what finally put it over the edge was her son had an injury, and he was homebound. And things were happening to him because he was psychologically broken down, too, just because of his injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't do anything. He was 18 years old, and you feel like at that age, you feel like your life's falling apart. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything. So they were feeding on that. And after she had got a second witness, then they knew there was something wrong. So we were only about 20 miles away from them, and she called us out of the blue to help her.
And let's talk about that a little bit. I know you touched on it earlier about asking questions. When you have someone calling you, and I'm sure you probably, you know, get several calls, and several are legitimate, several are, you know, broken down, and you probably discover maybe there isn't much here. What was your first impression, and can you walk us through in detail some of those questions you asked and the answers that she gave you?
Okay, well, first of all, I usually ask them how long they lived in the house, and when did they start noticing activity, and they just start noticing activity when they did a little renovation in a house. And that's a normal thing. If it's a traditional haunting, they're a creature of habit. If there's any kind of change in the atmosphere in the house, any renovation, even a change in the house, as in bringing a cat or a new baby in the house, that'll crank it up. Well, she had some of that going on, which I thought, okay, traditional haunting right away. But then she started, when I asked her about the time, she said it's quiet during the day, but at night it's more active. That's when the bells went off in my head. And then I did ask her about smells, odors, anything like that. She did say there was a sulfuric odor in the house. And was there any kind of physical attacks or anything like that? And she said she felt like she was being held down. And usually she did, and usually human entities will not do that to a person. And it's those kind of questions. You have to be really in-depth to find out if somebody's exaggerating or is it truly happening. So she answered most of the questions. I mean, out of 32, about 18 are steered toward demonic, and she answered 17 of them. So,
sure.
Correctly.
When you have this, I mean, did it strike you? What's your compass on this when someone calls you and has a story and has an issue and they're wanting help? Is it just the answers to the questions? How do you determine that there's something going on here? What's your spidey sense, if you will, to know, yes, this is legitimate versus this is not legitimate?
Well, what I do is I do the questions first just to find out what I might be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Then second of all, I set up a time for an interview where I take my wife and I go together. First, I take my wife because I always like to have a witness with me in case I happen to see something or something occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, my wife, she is a psychic. She is very good. We actually met over ghost hunting 20 years ago. And she is very, very sensitive on these things. And when she walks in, she'll tell me, well, there's nothing really here, or there's something here it's traditional, nothing to be scared of. When we walked into her house, she said, there's something here and it's bad. Because as we walked in the house and we sat down, she had this panicked look in her eye, and I knew right away. And I said, Christine, what's the problem? I whispered to her that question to her. She said, there's a child here, and he's in the hallway, but he doesn't look like a child. He looks more like a devil, and he's screaming at me. And usually they do that because they know the psychic can't unmask them. The psychic knows that they're pulling some kind of ploy. So the psychic is the worst enemy. So they tried scaring her out.
So
I just don't go by questions. I go by interviews, too. I'll go and do a personal interview.
Sure. So when you went there and you had the personal interview and you determined, okay, there's something going on here, we need to look into this deeper, what was the first step? What do you do once you determine there's something going on here? And what is the goal as you're called into something like this? I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.